CliffCentral.com.
Okay. Sure. A lot of people talking about two things this morning. First of all, you can hear all the noises happening from inside Pumi's house of like, people already saying this is going to be a hell of a day, and we are always ready for a big day. The other thing they're talking about is the amount of man cleavage that we're getting from Sia this morning. Sure.
Love?
What's going on there, Sia? What's...
I would let that bother me today.
Cleavage. What's happening with you?
Cleavage, I love that.
Cleavage, yeah.
Sia's... I just decided to wear a shirt. Is that a sin?
It doesn't look like you're wearing a shirt. It looks like you have two parts of a shirt on, but they're around your shoulders and nothing else. Massive heavage from Sia this morning. Massive.
Yeah, you look like the guy who's running after, your husband comes back, and you're that other guy that's in the bed, and you've got to run. Like, that's what
no.
you look like.
No! It has the bare necessities covered. I mean, all right, let me see. I'm trying
got to... Got a lot of bareness.
Okay, there we go. It's fast enough.
Wow, Sia.
Okay, we're good to go.
I'm so glad that we can do this from the comfort and privacy of our own homes. If you were in studio like that,
why?
Well, I'd be embarrassed to bring guests in. I mean, it would be like inviting them into
We'd
your.
We'd have to turn up the aircon.
Yeah, it would be like inviting them into your boudoir.
I could end up doing like a chess show thing.
I'm worried about.
Anyway.
Sure.
Oh my goodness.
So we're all here live and ready to look after you through the course of your Thursday morning. It's already a Thursday, the 14th of January, just about halfway through that month, which seems to last forever. Annette
and
says,
"Thanks to the American inauguration."
Yeah, and can I tell you something? I'm really, really keen for the whole world to just move on. I feel like. I really do feel like I've never, and I know, Pumi, you've always had a slightly more realistic, in inverted commas, maybe cynical in brackets, point of view about America, which maybe on my side it's been a bit idealistic and utopian, but I am, especially...
Not maybe, absolutely.
I think that's a fair assessment. I'm so pleased to just be moving on past the Trump clown car show that anything I'd rather have it's almost like when you and this has never happened to me, but people tell me if you go to a place like Thailand and you're busy chatting to this girl and she's just great, and then you know, you find out, like, she's definitely, definitely a man. But you find out at the very last minute. So you're like, wow, I was having such a good time with her. But she was lying to me the whole time. That's what it feels like.
I unfortunately do not think we are going to move past this.
No.
Anytime soon.
Oh no.
Not
Listen.
Anymore. I slept early yesterday, and I then was up from like 3:30 this morning. I couldn't get back to sleep. So I was like, oh, screw it. Okay, let me see what's happening in the world. Mm-hmm. And then to see the flood of the reactions of people in the U.S. and the impeachments, it's like, oh, here we go.
Well, it seems to me like Nancy Pelosi can't help herself. Joe Biden and Kamala Harris can't help themselves. As childish as Donald Trump can be, this impeachment which they're trying to launch at the last minute, which, by the way, if it goes to Senate trial, they won't have enough time to even impeach the guy before he'll be out of office anyway. It's a purely vindictive and stupid acting move. It's performative, and it makes me think, you know what, the guys who are coming in now are going to disappoint us as much as the guys who are going out now. And
so it's not performative. Because what it is, which is why Mitch McConnell is a big fan of it, is that it purges Donald Trump from the GOP. And as Trump Jr. has already told us, it's not their Republican Party anymore. Yeah. It's Donald Trump's Republican Party. That's what this is intended to be. It's intended to stop him ever coming back or trying to come back.
And
what are the chances that he would?
He would.
So as an ego thing, in other words, not winning this election.
Listen, I mean, if he came back and he tried this again, and he had any prospect of success, then the Republican Party would deserve to have their brains dashed out on the rocks. But to try and stop it now. No, I'm totally unsympathetic. I really am. I'm just like,
Garrett, I'd also think that the Democrats would be deserving of the same, because I think a huge part of what led us to the Trump administration is the fact that we didn't take him seriously in the build-up, in his presidential race. It's like, of course,
Let me tell you something. If there's one thing I hate as much as his, this election was stolen, it's still about me, his ego trips. There's one thing I hate as much as that. It's Kamala Harris's voice. So get ready for another 4 years of that shit.
What do you mean, Gareth?
It's like she never learnt as a child to adjust her tone for anything. When you hear monotonous, that is what you hear. Anyway,
Gareth, you know what you sound like? You sound like a child that expected a PS5 for Christmas and your parents got you a book.
That's exactly what happened. I'm telling you, it's that Thai girl who you thought was so pretty, and then she turns out to have a bigger penis than you.
Oh, wow.
All right.
That was oddly an accurate descriptive.
Let's not start with the U.S. We can get into that later on in the burning platform. We've got lots of time to start talking about that later on today. And we've got, as usual, the burning platform, which is brought to you by Nando's. This morning we'll be joined by Yao Pepra, who's a guy I've been trying to get on the show for a long, long time. He's got some really interesting points of view about politics, both here and in the U.S., and we'll talk about those. We're going to talk about the rest of the world, too. But Pumi's here, Bulalo's here, Sia's here, and I'm here. And Sia's chest is here this morning, which is even more important.
Just very quickly, it is U.S. politics-based, but not at all serious. What is the backstory of Maxine Waters? Who is she? Where does she come from? Because
she comes from the lunatic asylum. That's where she comes from. And she makes Makosikoza look young and vivacious. And Makosikoza is not an ugly old woman, but Maxine Waters really is.
No.
Oof.
And then there's something about her. She just exudes, I still wear a big wide-brimmed hat to church to me.
Mm.
You know what I mean?
Mm.
That's all I was getting from watching her earlier this morning.
No, she's an insane woman. Pumi, I love your background setup, says Carol. So what have we got going on in the background there, Pums? We've got a whole lot of pictures of you and family and friends and Canejo.
Canejo?
Yeah. Yes?
Canejo? Who's this? My grandparents, who've both since passed on. But then I'm showing out. And
I love that.
All my friends.
I love it.
All my favorite people, actually.
I love it. You know, things that make a house or a dwelling into a home are things like pictures of family and friends and that kind of thing. And that stuff is really, I love it. I've got photographs all over my house, too. Sometimes it's difficult to choose which ones you actually put up and which ones you don't because you've got so many. And that's nice because those are the things you walk past every day and you think, oh, I wonder how that person is. Or, you know, you see pictures of your family and it makes you feel kind of like you've got your people in the world. It's nice. I like that. I think that's fantastic.
Also, you know, because in our house, it's just the two of us potting around all the time. So all the pictures also makes it full of more people.
Mm.
See?
Oh, listen, big thank you.
Really cool.
Big thank you to you. Pumi was back on the TV show yesterday, along with our inaugural panel, And it was really good to have all of those people back on the show. We've done 6 months of TV shows. I can't believe it. I mean, I have to pinch myself to remember that that's where we're at, because it feels like just yesterday we started that TV show.
30 episodes.
Unreal. I had to pinch myself a couple of days ago because, you know, you get jaded and you get a bit cynical about things. And I was kind of going, got to go back and do the TV show. And then I suddenly thought about it. I was like, you know, if you were in the United States and you had a primetime weekly show where they gave you an hour to do whatever you wanted to do, you would think you had landed on cloud nine. You would have your ass in the butter. You'd be saying, I'm the luckiest guy in the world. And here I am going, I'm going to start the TV show again. That's just such a bad attitude. So I'm going to reform on that front, and we're going to bring you some amazing shows this year. I know Sia's been working hard on guests, so I'm very, very keen to take that.
It was very fun.
No, it was cool. We had some technical issues, which I was expecting for the start of the year, to be perfectly honest, but it didn't get me down, and I don't think it got our guests down. I have poems.
Jeremy was magnificent.
Yeah,
and the audience never sees it. I got a call from my cousin. Ooh.
What the hell happened there? It sounds like you're living in a cave where there are monsters.
Is it me?
Okay, well, we hear every noise in your house this morning. I don't know what's going on there.
Yeah.
Sorry, Sia, you were saying the people who watch the show don't see it.
I got a call from my cousin, and he was like, oh, no, it was such a great episode. I'm like, if you only knew, you get to see a polished 45 minutes at the end of the day. We're running around. I was actually counting. I was trying to rather count the number of guests, and I discovered we've spoken to more than 100 people on that show alone.
That's amazing. That really is cool.
I know.
Annette says she's just caught up with all the TV shows last week, and they really are good. She hasn't missed one. Thanks, Annette. JP says, congrats, the TV show really is good. I look forward to it every week. And Woody says, speaking of tone of voice, I got a call from a company HQ because I updated my contact details, and the guy on the call sounded like I had done something wrong. And he spoke in a really aggressive tone. So I told him, look here, I don't appreciate being spoken to in that tone. Get someone else to call me. And I dropped the call. Woody standing up for himself. Good for you. I don't know why.
Okay.
Yeah, you don't have to tolerate being spoken to like that. People mustn't phone you from... I got a call yesterday from one of these NGOs asking for donations. You know, the ones who go, hi, you've helped us in the past. Would you consider making a donation again today? She was very sweet. Someone called Ketiwe. So I said, yeah, sure, send me an email. But I was busy with things. You know, they can't tell that you're busy. So you don't have to be rude to the poor person who's been tasked with having to call you. And I've become much better at that. I used to be very rude to people on the phone if I thought that you were calling me at an awkward time or whatever. But they don't know. How are they meant to know that you're busy with stuff? So you just say, look, politely, call me later.
That's my worst thing about call centers, though, is actually ordinarily between the times of like 8 and 4, people are at work.
Yeah.
Why do you think I'm going to like take your call and listen to you for 5 minutes trying to convince me to get extra insurance for my tires? Like,
no, it's very annoying.
Oh, but when else can they call?
When are they meant to call? Are they meant to call after business hours? Because that'll really annoy you.
They need to find another way. Like, call centers are the pits. They really are the pits. Like, they need to find another way. Also, they never say, are you able to speak right now? They just, like, launch into their script. Hello, Mr. Macheron. I'm just calling you from Vietnam Live.
Yeah, I know exactly what you mean. And listen, eventually you become a bit like, they rehearse, that they've told how to ask you questions and what to ask you, and they've got a script and everything. So I just do the same thing. I've got my own script. Hi, yeah, thank you very much, not interested. Because you can play with them, and I mean, once upon a time I used to do that. I'd mess with them and waste their time, but actually, who has the time to do that? Because what you're saying is your time is worthless, so you're going to waste it.
Yeah, but they've got enough of our data. You know, if they're calling us, they got our data somewhere. Is call the Yenters. What I don't understand is there's plenty of people sitting on their hands in the middle of suburbs. Call them. Like, you know people that work because you've got my data. Or am I crazy?
Oh, I feel like we're about to go down and Bulelo hates suburban housewives trip again.
As always. Wait,
but why is
the
that?
The train is never late.
Never.
the Yenters are sitting at home doing nothing. They cannot wait to chat.
All right. We have a practical problem to solve before we get to the headlines for this morning, and it comes from Sia Sangweni, who writes, "Dear everybody on the show, my name is Sia, and I have been adulting for some time now. I have a current dilemma which I would like to help you solve. And perhaps your expert panel will be able to put their minds to work and solve this for me. My knife collection in my kitchen is fairly..."
What does he ask?
He says, "My knife collection in my kitchen is still fairly new, but all of my kitchen knives are suddenly quite blunt. Can you sharpen them somewhere? Or what do I do with a set of knives that have become blunt? Are you meant to throw them out? If you do throw them out, surely you can't throw a whole set of knives into the bin, because that will cut up someone who's picking up the rubbish. So what can I do? Signed, sincerely yours, a terrified, confused, and entirely unprepared for adulthood, Sia Sangweni." Okay, well, thank you for your email, Sia. It's great to hear from you. Let's start with a person who probably has the most experience in domestic affairs, and that is Pumi Mashiko, is also a mother. Pums, what do you do with slightly blunt knives?
Well, there are two things to consider. Since they're somewhat new, it might mean that they're a bit cheap. That's why they are now blunt.
Mm-hmm.
Knives are an important part of the kitchen. You must invest in them, because if they're not cheap, you can also buy a knife sharpener.
Uh-huh.
But if it's a cheap knife and you buy a knife sharpener, it's a recipe for disaster. I'm just saying, relook those knives. Were they cheap knives? Sia must tell us.
Asking for Sia here, where do you get a knife sharpener? I've never heard of such in my life. You know, seriously though, these are the things that just catch you when you least expect it, hey? Where you go, you know when you realize that it's a learning moment for you and you're growing up in a moment? Trying to actually sort out knives when you go, I need to learn more here. Because surely you can't, you know, decide, oh yeah, our trash gets taken out on a Wednesday, so I'm just going to chuck all of these in the bin. Because also, you know, the killer's alive and well, and you're just enabling the killer at this point by throwing away a set of eight knives.
So, I will first of all excuse myself on the grounds that I am not a very useful kitchen person. But I will say this, that my parents got from my sister's boyfriend 1 year, I think it was for Christmas or one of their birthdays or something, a very fancy Japanese knife, which is really, really sharp. It's made of, like, I don't know, damask steel or something. This thing is just incredible. It will cut through anything. And that one knife,
is it a shogun?
I don't know what kind, I don't know what make it is, but that knife will cut through anything, and it is the most impressive thing I've seen in the kitchen. I, however, am not that way inclined. I don't cook very much. I don't use you know, the kind of fancy equipment that some people buy. And listen, some people's kitchens are worth more than some other rooms in their house by, you know, by a factor of 10, because they have really fancy stuff. They have, you know, a toaster that can do everything from donuts and bagels to toast to they can make ciabatta bread in the damn thing, for all you know.
And air fryers.
People have drawers full of really, really expensive stuff. They have a fridge that costs as much as most people's houses. So it all depends on what level you're at. And I know one good knife is probably worth about 20 shitty ones. So I think Sia, this Sia Sangweni who wrote, it's funny, yes. Sia, they've got the same name as you. I just realized that now. I didn't click until now. Bulelo, do you have anything to weigh in on this topic?
Nothing, but I just want to say that people with air fryers, you're not Jane Fonda. Stop telling us you're an air fryer.
Well, on this note, I put up a post on Instagram yesterday. You know, people don't, they really don't read. It's all about them. And I've realized this, like, you could say anything you want. So I put up this picture of some vegetables that I made for, like, a breakfast lunch yesterday. And they, you know, it's the kind of thing anyone could do. You just boil a couple of frozen vegetables and, you know, it was sufficient for the purposes of my breakfast. So I said in the caption, breakfast, yes, I know, no protein equals bad. And then I said clearly, I'm not posting this for culinary advice. I'm posting it because normally I felt like showing the rest of you how boring pics of food are, and cooking shows for that matter. So I'm actually having a... So what happens? A whole bunch of what Bulela would call yenters start telling me, that looks so boring. That looks like such boring food. Why don't you add a bit of butter? Why don't you... They all start giving me fucking food advice, which I've specifically said I don't want. I'm not posting it for food. I'm posting it to show you how boring food posts are. But now these fucking people can't help themselves. They have to tell me about their recipes. And that's boring. Couldn't you have put why didn't you add some more salt and pepper? Or why didn't you add a little bit of this to it? Some chicken would be nice. Why didn't you put
Well, you really are sounding like Mbulelo now.
But I'll tell you something.
Well, to my point.
78 comments on this post.
Oh, my God.
Almost all of them from people who thought I'd posted it because I care about food.
Then to my point just now, I told you, the guys that do the calls to us, do it to those people. They've got nothing to do.
Clearly.
Like they think, the type of people that go, being a mother is a full-time job,
yes,
and
I
they've
know.
Got Tundi and a driver. Like those, yeah. that's those people right. giving advice.
Lord.
Well, Tato says, if you think of a knife sharpener, try and get methylated spirits. You need to convince the store manager that you aren't a Nyawupe boy and you will use it after shaving your head. That's from Tato. Ruth says...
Wait, but I don't understand. You put methylated spirit on a knife and that will sharpen it?
Apparently, that's what Tato's saying you use, among other things.
I've heard of that before.
Yeah. You need to have some kind of abrasive. So you need to either have one of those sharpening knives, sharpening stones, they call it, but it's actually like an implement that you buy. And then you will.
No, I'm gunning to lose a finger there. Then.
Yeah. See, maybe you should go and buy one good one.
And also, by the way, there are blacksmiths. I don't know if it is a cheap set of knives, just throw those things away. But if it's nice knives, there are people that still. Oh, blacksmiths, by the way.
Yeah,
that is still a very real thing.
It's an actual job.
Really?
Absolutely. No, it's artistry.
In the year 2021, then they're also cobblers. And
what are you talking about? There's people who think when they were born in the year affects when they're going to get a boyfriend. What are you...
No.
I'm just very surprised.
And those people who believe...
There are even milliners still.
Yes.
Yeah. These things exist.
What are those?
Hats.
Yeah.
Stop. Do they then put them in hat boxes?
Yes.
What?
Yes.
No, I was making a joke. Oh,
no, really? Yeah.
Sorry. As so many people are jumping on the craze, I'm just currently watching Bridgerton on Netflix, and it's set in way back when. So right now it sounds like something that happened ages ago in early England.
It's a real thing.
Apparently, do not
wash...
Where
do you think Maxine Waters gets her hat?
Yeah, exactly. She buys them from a milliner. Sarah says, don't wash your knife in hot water. It apparently accelerates bluntness. And Gabello says, no, you put the methylated spirits in your chiskop after shaving. We use it as an aftershave in Kokasi.
Yeah, and black people and methylated spirits will use it for anything, not just that. Clean the corner, anything. To make the bad spirits go away. Yeah, no. Black people and myths.
And Jane,
so one day we need to have a conversation around barbershops specifically and how, you know, I'm not saying, not, you know, being like Harry Styles and saying we need to completely redefine masculinity, but a barbershop and what happens there cannot be the pinnacle of masculinity.
No.
Manipulated spirit burns your head. burns your head, and you're meant to sit there and pretend like it doesn't do anything, like wincing, like, oh, come on, guy, be a man about it. Excuse me, this is a chemical on my head. Of course I'll scream a little.
Well,
no, it's not an option.
How else will you know that the hair is all gone? It's not burning everywhere.
Let's get into some headlines. We can always come back to this in a second. I think it's worth discussing. Two Durban nurses are due to appear in court on Wednesday after one of them allegedly used the bank card of a deceased COVID-19 victim to make personal purchases. How do you like that?
What did she buy?
No, it was a he nurse, oh, not a she
what
nurse.
What did he buy?
He is, I think, 40, and the other one is 45 years old. They're from St. Augustine's Hospital and an unnamed private hospital in Mhlanga. And it's alleged the complainant, who's the owner of Auto Engineering on Sydney Road in Umbilo, has a business partner who was admitted to St. Augustine's Hospital, and they have a joint business account. His partner's card, he noticed, was being used while he lay in hospital, and it continued to be used even after he had passed away. It is alleged that there was one withdrawal that was made at the hospital even. Footage at the hospital was not clear enough to ascertain who the perpetrator was. However, the investigating officer continued, and he visited one of the stores where purchases were made. It was at the Glenwood Spa. Their video footage confirmed that the card was used by one of the people. He was dressed in full uniform. The accused was arrested, and some of the goods that he'd purchased were recovered. He said the card was with his friend. He, too, was arrested, and the other goods purchased by him were also recovered. So.
Well, that's why you didn't become a doctor. You're not smart enough to be a doctor. That's why you have to be a nurse. How do you think you're not going to get caught?
That's not fair, Mbulelo. There are lots of very smart nurses, and nurses do different things to doctors.
Sure. Sorry. Was that a shot?
Yeah, I think that was very unkind. There are lots of nurses who do fantastic work. You're so superior.
I am.
Teddy Mafia. You know who Teddy Mafia is?
He's my new favorite person. He's unbelievable. I had a look into this guy's history. Unbelievable.
Tell me what you know.
No, just reading how malicious this and crazy this guy was. Like, his reputation on the block is just insane. Just like a throwback to, like, Capone times.
Well,
just a thug.
The plot continues to thicken as cops seize 130,000 rand in drugs from various family members of Teddy Mafia's houses. Yes, three houses belonging to a family member were raided, and they found 130,000 rands worth of drugs, including 25,000 capsules of antidepressant Xanax, which is allegedly used as a date rape drug, as well as color-tinted cocaine. How do you like that?
Oh.
Yes, on Wednesday morning, police conducted a raid at a house in Shawcross near the home where Teddy Mafia lived and was shot dead. Apparently, one person who was seen fleeing one of the houses has been arrested. The other houses were not occupied, apart from dogs being chained outside in disgusting conditions and seemingly being used for storage. Sources described the houses as cluttered and added that the cops may have found more drugs if we'd taken sniffer dogs. So how do you like that? They found Xanax, Mandrax, 3.5 kilograms of Dacha, 1,000 ecstasy tablets, 300 grams of ecstasy powder, and 50 grams of cocaine. News 24 has seen photographs of the drugs, which include cocaine tinted pink and green, that is seen as a trademark of the sellers. So that could just be the tip of the iceberg, because they say they're going to find a whole lot more.
But also, don't you hate having a pink-themed birthday party and your cocaine arrives and it doesn't match the decoration?
Yeah, it's so upsetting when you've gone to so much trouble with your decor.
Absolutely. So of course you need color-tinted cocaine.
But what of the people who were beheaded?
Yes,
and the beheaders.
That was. Did you see the video? Because that was being sent around too on one of those WhatsApp groups that I'm on, and it was pretty disturbing stuff. It's like the guy's.
You know, that's my worst thing about Twitter. That the videos just autoplay, and people have put it on Twitter, and now you don't know what's going on, so you're like squinting to see what's happening, and then you just, it's horrendous.
That is horrendous.
I've got PTSD from that shit.
I'm telling you, and you imagine like kids are on there as well, and they see that kind of thing?
Kids standing on the side of the road, it's
yeah,
traumatic.
Very upsetting. Anuj Singh has until Monday to submit an affidavit to the Zondo Commission. And Pumi, you have, you've always been our go-to person with the Zondo Commission. So remind me again who Anuj Singh is. He's the former financial boss of Eskom, right?
Of Eskom.
Okay.
And what a mess happened because his lawyer came on, and the evidence leader for the commission, Seleka, mm-hmm. is his last name, only to find, so his lawyer comes on to say, well, they needed to be, his date must be postponed and he must be given a new date because he actually didn't have all of the information that he needed in order to prepare. Turns out the man was sent a notice to appear before there was an affidavit. So Judge Zondo was not happy. He's just like, what the hell? What kind of shit is this? Why are you sending out a notice for this man to appear? Not, so what are you going to ask him on? You haven't seen his affidavit. His affidavit hasn't arrived. So what it was a mess. It was a mess, but it didn't bode well for the commission.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously a lot of people are complaining the fact that it's not Judge Zondo who is in charge of the investigations. He is just listening to everything and will be compiling a report. It's the evidence leaders and the researchers of the commission that haven't done their job. And apparently it's a procedural thing that they got wrong, but that poor guy, he was just arming an orange, concentrating, as a lot of people have been saying, on his exit rather than the work.
Yeah, it says in the story...
I don't think it was good for his career.
It says in the story that Zondo was visibly annoyed as he took issue with evidence leader Pule Selega over the defective summons, which referred to the comprehensive affidavit that Singh now has until Monday to submit. Zondo pointed out, you can't issue a summons that says someone has filed an affidavit if factually that has not happened. Seleka then explained, Chair, the summons is issued against a particular person and that person has been engaging with the commission. Zondo said, it doesn't matter. The summons must tell the person to whom it is issued what he is required to testify about on the day he is required to appear. And effectively, what this summons is requiring Mr. Singh to come and testify about is an affidavit that did not exist and then does not even exist now. So, obviously, a bit of a mess, a bit of an embarrassing lapse in procedure by the side that was investigating.
And he tried so hard to defend it, which is what annoyed Judge Zondo. And as we know, the man is a picture of perseverance.
Sure. Yeah,
he is so patient.
Sorry for that guy and what he has to go through in that commission. Because it really is a shit show. So yesterday we spoke about this Italian mafia trial that has started with hundreds of accused people, 350 suspected members of this crime syndicate. And there are politicians, lawyers, businessmen, and others who are accused of enabling them with a long trial that's going to start in Calabria. And they've actually built this building especially for it. They've kind of made it secure, and they've put in cameras everywhere and various security arrangements, and that all is going to kick off in this specially converted courtroom, which is in the heart of this notorious crime syndicate's territory. And apparently they're getting cracking now, and it's going to be the biggest mafia trial in Italy since the 1980s. How's that?
Wow. You know, we've been... Sorry, sir. You know, we've all been watching Rudy Giuliani and in shock and horror.
Yeah.
There is a documentary on Netflix right now about one of the biggest mafia cases tried in New York. And young Rudy was the prosecutor.
Mm-hmm.
It is a fascinating, fascinating, and it's how they approached it, in how they approached the case, because for years and years they couldn't get the mafia because they couldn't link them to anything, and they had to create a whole. It is fascinating. You must watch it. I forgot what it's called, but I'm sure if you look on Netflix, just go Rudy Giuliani.
Wow. Okay. You're not going to end up with pictures of his hair dye coming down his face.
And it does not have a soundtrack with Macho Man.
If they're specifically redoing this court for the Italian mafia, what do you think are some of the specs that are definitely there? Like, do you think there's a specific, like, there's not even a canteen, you know, they have this long table, you know, for the familia to eat together.
I think they just want to make sure nobody gets broken out, or that that the prisoners and the people who are testifying are actually safe. Because you know what often happens in these situations is that someone will try and take them out before they get to testify. I think that's the main reason that they've done this.
Listen, when Berlusconi left, it was everything was going to come tumbling down. I mean, he'd been protecting the mafia for a wee while now.
And then in Washington, the big story that we'll no doubt touch on during the burning platform just now, Donald Trump became the first U.S. president in history to be impeached a second time when the U.S. House of Representatives voted Wednesday to charge him with inciting last week's mob attack in Congress. Today, in a bipartisan way, the House demonstrated that no one is above the law, not even the president, said Nancy Pelosi after the vote. The Senate will not hold a trial before the 20th of January, when Democrat Joe Biden assumes the presidency, meaning that the real estate tycoon Donald Trump will escape the ignominy of being forced to leave early. He is set, however, to face a Senate trial later, and if convicted, he might be barred in a follow-up vote from seeking the presidency again in 2024. So it's,
and he loses all his perks. He doesn't, you know, his salary, all of those kinds of things. He loses all of that.
I don't think he's looking for money, but I don't think he's going to disappear. Even if they impeach him, he's not going to go and hide away and be quiet and lick his wounds. This guy's, we know what he's like. He will fight to the bitter end, and he will keep doing unconventional and outrageous things every step of the way. So they've got a hope in hell of shutting him up.
What's the best move for him right now as he leaves?
If he could
get on a plane to Russia.
If you could, this is like, often one or two bad decisions. If you could go back in time and change your mind. Like, I wonder if Donald Trump, because I think, judging by his personality, he would never have changed a damn thing because he thinks everything he does is perfect. But if he could, I wonder if he'd go back and just concede to Joe Biden and say, listen, we're going to carry on with our investigations. We're going to carry on challenging the things that we think are wrong. But I'm going to also make sure there's an orderly transition, and I'm going to concede to Joe. And let's do this in a dignified way, and not have his rally on the 6th, and not have his people storm Congress, with or without his coercion. I wonder if he'd go back and change any of that, or if he'd go, no, I did the right thing. This is exactly what should have happened.
He's got a bigger thing to worry about. One of Donald Trump's biggest, and I don't know why not a lot of people are talking about it, but he is absolutely terrified of is that there will be criminal charges brought up against him for all sorts of things. That's why this is so important to him. And that's why I think his best bet, just get on an early morning flight to Russia. Putin will welcome him with open arms. They will hover him over there. Because there's nowhere else, right? Every other country is so afraid of the U.S. They've got extradition treaties with almost everyone. But if he goes to Russia, you know, he can carry on living there, living his best life in Russia.
But not before I suggest he buys the set of buildings opposite the White House, converts it into a bright gold Trump something building, and then
so that every morning Biden has to walk into the Oval Office and look straight into a Trump sign.
Yes, and there must be one of those big old school neon lights that just, like, you know, the ones that almost whiz when they shine bright, just woo Trump, woo Trump. That's it. Just come on, Eric, Donald Trump Jr., Ivanka, this is your time to shine. Do it for your dad.
All right. Well, those are the stories in the news this morning. A lot of people want to talk about the barbershop thing that you brought up, Sia. Modern barbershops rock, Sia. Big screen TVs, free drinks. People also drink methylated spirits to get drunk when they can't find anything else. And what they do is they siphon it through bread to take out the methyl alcohol. And what's left is then ethyl alcohol, which is the pure stuff, which is terrible. I mean, this is very dangerous, and people die from doing this. But if you're desperate and Cyril has not allowed the liquor stores to operate, then this is what's going to happen. So I don't
know. On a chemical front, Gareth, would you advise that?
Don't. No, hell no.
Oh.
I mean, even if you do it through the bread, even if you end up with pure ethyl alcohol on the other side of that, ethyl alcohol is extremely dangerous at those kind of concentrations. I mean, it's all still very poisonous. Listen, do what you have to do with pineapples, which we know people have been doing while there's been a liquor ban, while we've been in the prohibition. The prohibition is back, and it will be until the 15th of February, I think. So make your stuff with pineapples and all the rest of it, or buy it illegally from all the places that we know that you're going to. But don't make your own.
Do you suggest rye? Do you suggest like a French loaf?
No, I suggest not. I suggest do not make your own. I mean, I wouldn't know how to do the pineapple stuff for any. Just, you know what? Rather find someone who will sell you stuff through the back door. And we know that's happening. So let's all stop pretending. If you're really desperate for a drink, find it from someone who you know who knows someone who knows someone. But don't try and make your own especially out of meths or something more dangerous than that, please.
Just buy new knives. Spend good money. Buy new knives.
Right. Is Pumi still, here we go, this is an interesting one from Duncan, is Pumi still pro-Iran? I would be interested to know whether she thinks Biden will be softer on Iran.
I think he will be. I think he will be softer on Iran, and yes, I am still pro-Iran. But I also want to talk about Jay says he won't lose his benefits if he's impeached. He totally loses his benefits. He loses the security detail. He loses his pension. He even loses the title. He will not be referred to as former president.
Really?
It's a thing.
Wow. I didn't know it was going to that level.
So they'll still call former President Carter former president, even though he's 100 in the shade.
But
Donald Trump will not get the title.
I think they
he won't get a presidential library.
Yeah, I mean, they'll try to just erase these 4 years from history, obviously. You know, he's the first president since George H.W. Bush to not have a second term.
Mm.
And before that, it was Carter, who also only had one term. So it's quite a big deal. I mean, this is history in the making. So there's quite a lot to consider here. Bulelo has an interesting dilemma, too. This is an email from someone called Bulelo. I don't know if we know him. He says he's booked two trips overseas this year, and he has something to look forward to, even if they don't happen. Explain what you think is going on here in Bulelo, or is it you that wrote to us, and now I've ruined your...
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like a smart guy. This sounds a little sanctimonious, but he's onto something.
Then it's definitely you.
Yeah, look, I think this year's going to be, it's been a wild 12 months, so I thought, you know what, I'm going to give myself something to look forward to and work towards. The one is like a massive physical thing in November, and the one is an enjoyment thing to the biggest football tournament in the world in July.
Mm-hmm.
And I booked it, and I'm like, you know, in my mind, it's happening. I'm going to Sweden twice this year. I've got something to look forward to, and now I have to save, and now I have to live like it was just a normal year. You know, I've got normal goals to look forward to. I'm not going to get into the doldrums. I'm going to find a way to make money so I can enjoy two holidays. Like, in my mind, that's happening. And I think it's gonna make a rough year slightly, you know, more normal.
What if they cancel them? I wouldn't book a holiday overseas now because I'd be so scared that they would cancel the flights or that those countries wouldn't be open or that I would have to comply with so many rules in order to get there that it would make it impossible for me to be sure that I would be spending money that I'd actually get something for.
Well, if they cancel them, I will have saved the money for the trip, so no worries.
But then what happened to Sia was he booked a holiday for last year, which they cancelled, and then the company that he booked them through is now in liquidation, and he's not going to get his money for some time, if at all. What if that happens?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Is the money I'm going to save for the trip, in my mind, I've already thought about that, is I'm going to save so much money for both trips anyway that the money that I've spent on both flights, no worries. I'll have money anyway. No worries at all. But in my mind, I'm setting goals as though this is a normal year.
Oh, so but you're not going to spend the money until you know for sure?
No. I have booked and paid for two non-refundable trips. That has happened. It has sailed.
All right, that's very brave of you. I wouldn't do that. I'm in no hurry. I'm in no hurry, Mbulelo. I'm sorry to throw that money away, which is what you might be doing, on the whim.
Please don't say brave. You make me sound like somebody who's just gotten out of a relationship and is ready to date again. I'm so brave. No, don't. It's not brave. Don't do that, Jared. You make me sound like the worst type of person who I resent. I'm just.
All right.
I'm feeling so brave. I'm so ready to date again. I just. It's been a. Oh.
By the way.
That's exactly who you are about 2020. You're going. I'm going to go out there and I'm going to live 2021 like 2020 never happened.
That's what an Aries like you would do.
It's so true. I'm such a Gemini.
Just by the way, Bulelo is busy. If you can't get enough of him, he's busy putting together great content for Cliff Central Sport. And there are new reasons why you should subscribe. Go over to YouTube and look up Cliff Central Sport. It's easy to find, and you can become a subscriber today, and you can find out what Bulelo's plans are for the upcoming couple of months. And I know you have big plans for this year. Do you want to give us just a little taste of what you have lined up in Cliff Central Sport?
So yeah, probably from the middle of February towards the end of February, you'll start seeing us. So we're going to the continent. I mean, we can say it now. We've signed a deal with a partner. So we'll be, you know, the production quality is going to go to another level. We're setting up a nice studio next door. So, you know, we're going to take it to, it's as good as anything you'll see on television. So, and we are going distributing to the continent, to a few countries, a couple of million people actually. So
nice.
You know, we're going to make it more interactive. We're going to get, you know, more intricate on the digital side, help everybody interact with us. It's going to be an awesome, awesome thing. It's been working really, really hard over December, and it's awesome that it's coming to fruition. So thanks
Fantastic.
For the support. People have been really, really good with the emails and feedback. So, yeah, middle, end of Feb, look out for it.
Mark says, Mbulelo, don't forget our bet. Liverpool still top four.
All right, I know. So I made a bet with him that he has to buy me a single origin coffee, and he said I have to wear a Liverpool shirt if they do it.
Okay, so we're going to wait and see when's the cutoff date for do Liverpool fall? Well, as soon as they fall out of the top four, then you've won.
No. At the end of the season, they have to finish in the top four. So that's prestigious because you play in something called the Champions League if you do that.
All right, and then Woody says that he thinks you're a closet Karen, Bulelo.
You know what, to be honest, you know, I barely care about what my family members are doing, Woody. I could not give a damn about my next door neighbor now.
Just by the way, everybody, this is a useful bit of info that Jeff has just brought, and I looked up another source as well, and it is true that impeaching the president alone does not strip him of benefits. He would have to be impeached and convicted by the Senate, and even then he wouldn't lose his security benefits. Apparently, it is unconstitutional for the Senate to convict a non-sitting president. So unless they do it before the 20th, they're not going to get to strip him of all of those things. So in other words, that's not necessarily true. So there's some useful information.
He's not worried about that. Trust fund baby and a billionaire.
Surely
the money stuff not worrying.
Of course.
He'd be all right. You'd probably trade in the presidential car. Like, hey, this thing's a piece of trash.
Well, I think
be something German.
I think he's the only president in certainly in our lifetimes to not have earned a salary while he was president. All of his money went to other. He donated it all away. So I think he's probably going to go back to earning a whole lot more than he did as president. He's not concerned about that. He could buy security to rival what the president gets in any case, I suppose.
And I don't know if you've heard on the sporting side, you know, obviously he's obviously big with the golf courses, and they are there's some talk that they're looking to strip all of the golf courses of his name, and I mean it's becoming a bit of a thing on the golf scene.
Oh,
because
come on.
Yeah,
oh, no, that's,
the PGA pulled out.
That is totally
the PGA pulled out.
Yeah, the PGA.
I just think all of these people who are abandoning him now are as bad as the people who supported him throughout, because the people who are abandoning him now are just doing it. That's a form of the highest kind of virtue signaling. It's like, no, we're not associated with him, but they've only just stopped associating with him now, and they're doing it because there's huge pressure from other people who are saying, oh, you can't possibly be supporting Trump, are you? So I think it's kind of a bit weak to be doing that, especially for a golf course, and saying you're going to take the Trump name down, or you're not going to give him his membership or any of that stuff. It's really kind of a little bit childish at the end. It's as bad as him, frankly, like rats on a sinking ship, says Tracy. I think that's exactly right. They're all scurrying. So I think that's a good point to make, too. All right, well, we've got a whole lot more in the Burning Platform, which is coming up in just a moment. But it is 7 o'clock. Jeez, time is flying this morning. CliffCentral.com. We're going to be talking about all the stuff that's going on in the United States. We're going to be talking about all the stuff that's happening over here. And there was a video that was released, or someone leaked yesterday, of the National Coronavirus Command Council in a meeting that they had last year when they started the first hard lockdown. And it's all of the ministers, and Cyril jokes that he's not sure when the lockdown will end because he didn't say what year it would end, ha, 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 laughing, having a good time chatting about all that stuff while people's livelihoods are at stake. So we'll also discuss that, see what you have to say about all of those things. That's coming up next, cliffcentral.com on live this morning, and you can join us on Webinar Jam if you want to watch the show and not just listen to us. But if you'd like to get hold of us, 0797482090.
CliffCentral.com.